You know, this was too hot and this was too cold and this was just right. And she complained about the water temperature being too hot. And so we're not letting her be baptized anymore. I'm going to say that with a smile on my face, but we are delighted. And so we have a little certificate for her, and we are thrilled. How many of you believe when someone makes their public profession of faith, and we have a great opportunity to pray for them, encourage them, and edify and build them up? How many of you believe that? Say amen. We're excited for her. Miss Shannon, we've got this for you. And yeah, some of you want to clap. Shannon, would you mind coming and getting your certificate? Or do you want to make me walk all the way to you? Is that what you want to do? So, man, we're so thankful. I'm proud of you. Love you, sis. God bless you. God bless you, man. We're glad and glad for Miss Shannon there. And as you can see here, we've got our new banner up, and you see them out in the parking lot, and I'll tell the story. We've got one more coming. But, man, that's a great thing. So you're saying, what is our theme? What is our theme? It's tell the story. And I want to walk that through. What does that mean to tell the story? 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. Look at verse number 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. If you would, just one last time, stand as we read God's word together, and we pay honor and attention to that. 1 Kings 19, look at verse number 19. So he that is Elijah departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. Let me set the scene. Elijah's this great prophet of God. That means he spoke for God. He did things that proved that he spoke for God. God used him with miracles. It means he was prophetic in his voice. He constantly had people who were in sin and doing wrong things upset with him. Constantly. And he did what was right with the Lord, did not compromise. And you have him at a transitional part in his life. He is going to be reaching out and training someone. He's going to be saying, I want to help you. So he finds this guy who is pretty wealthy. So how do you know that? Because there's 12 sets of these oxen. In a minute you're going to see about the servants. And he's hanging back with the 12. If you got that many oxen, you got that many servants, you got some money somewhere. Verse 20, and he left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I'll follow thee. Elijah says, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Everybody's kind of divided about whether Elijah's telling him this is not a good thing or whatever. But we see that Elisha's going to follow through. Verse 21, he returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, that is a set of them, and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instrument of oxen. In other words, he has a great big party. And he uses how he made his livelihood, 1 Kings 19, in order to cook this feast for his family. He gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose, went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. And we're going to end there today, but I want to tell the story this morning. I want to tell the story. Pray with me one last time. Father God, we love you and we need you. Help my thoughts to be focused on you. Help me to say what I need to say. Help me not say anything else. Help us be excited, Lord, about you. Help us give you all honor, glory, and credit for anything that's done. Father, I believe that we have the theme that we need for the year. I believe we have our focus on the thing that we need to, the theme that we need to. And God, I pray you'd help us. Help us not to be strangers who wander in and out of here a few times a month. Help us not to pass by our community and do our very best to avoid them. And God, help us to think, to not think, that our lives do not matter to each other. Would you help us to be willing to tell our story? And tell your story and tell the story. Help me. Holy Spirit of God, use me and fill me. I pray in your Son's name I ask. And amen. Amen. You be seated. Be seated. Most of you got a noisemaker. If you're not comfortable whirling your noisemaker or whatever, that's fine. But anybody got one that clack, clickety clacks? Or are they all blowers? What are they? All blowers? Some of you are like, I'm not going to do that. But anybody you got one that blows? I just need to hear them real fast here. That's what I thought. It sounded like a blooper reel for Duck Dynasty, doesn't it? And they talked about in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, you know, they would do what? They would shout, and they would blow, and they would do all these kind of things. So we'll make a little noise. Some of you are like, I'd rather do that than amen. That's okay. But I'll give you a few occasions where I want you to do that. I think lightheartedly, and seriously, man, we ought to give God glory and praise. Amen. God glory and praise. We can lose our mind at a basketball game. They're talking about taking defibrillators to the next UT Vols men's game because of the overtime squeaker there with Vanderbilt. I think we can get all, we ought to get a little worked up about the work of God and the person of God. We can do a little bit, right? We can go a little bit from zombie to at least barely alive. Can we do that? Can I get an amen over here? We can do that. And so I want us to, yeah, there you go. You can do that. It'll be like, this is the best church service ever. Amen. So we're there. I want to recount a few things. And again, last year we did all of this kind of in one shot, and it was a lot to absorb. So I'm parsing it out a little bit this year. But I want to say a few things to you. I'm going to talk a little bit, rehearse just a little bit about the campus. Man, I am so thrilled. I had a hard time getting everything together. Everybody with me? I'm going to be done on time today. You're going to have to listen though. I had a hard time with some things just going back over. Because in hindsight, it's so obvious God did things. It was so obvious God did things. And a $30,000, $35,000 roof job, man, that we ended up $1,100 for and wrote a check and got a 35-year warranty on the thing. And, man, that is only, and I don't tell the story because it takes 15 minutes, but that's no big deal. That's no big deal. If you got 35 grand sitting around doing nothing, that's no big deal to you. But to the rest of us, that's a pretty big deal that the Lord did. And the way that the Lord did that, over and over and over again, just inch thing after thing after thing, that God has done, man, to help us on the campus. We hosted a community group. In the past 12 months, we've had three community groups use the building here at the church. Say, why do you do that? Because we live in Hardin Valley community, in Carnes community. And if all places, man, the community ought to know that there's a church here that loves them, and it's okay because the building just sitting empty anyway, right? Only person that's putting out is me. I don't care. I want them to come because guess what I'm doing, man? When they walk in the door, I'm going, good to see you. I'm Rodney. I'm the pastor here. Good to see you. I'm Rodney. I'm the pastor. Do you have a church home anywhere? Do you have any church home? My wife writes good sermons. You ought to come listen. And, man, we ought to do this. Man, Eric's back there. She does not. And, I mean, come on. We had a group that never been here before, and they came in here, and they said a couple of funny things. They started off, here you go, Roy. They started off, and they went, would it be okay if we give you some money to use the building? And I went, no. I don't care. You can use the building. He said, we want to do this. I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. And it came in, and they were talking about, man, I've never been in this building. It was like 25 people here, and none of them ever been in this building, and they live across the street. Say, they just used the building for 2 hours. No. We introduced our neighbors to the church that's right across the way, and about half of them don't go anywhere to church. And the other ones went to some church. I didn't think they really had too much church. And so I was glad to introduce them there. Amen. And we got to see them. I got to shake their hand, thank them. Man, we had coffee. We had a few things set out for them. They had all this kind of, they brought a German Bavarian something cookies. They had two wrappers on them. Anything got two wrappers on them, I'm ready to eat. Amen. And they had this and said, would you like a cookie? I said, no, I want six cookies. But I can't, and I can't. And so they bit into him. The woman turned around and said, these are so good, Pastor. And they just called me Reverend. And I said, well, that's okay. Get them behind me, neighbor. And so we were there. And they had their fun. They got done. They used the screens and all. They said, we'll be back. We'll be back. And say, that's just it. No. Man, we got to meet our neighbors. We got to have about 250 neighbors here at Eastern. We got to have about 325 neighbors here for our community fun day. Man, we got to have them on campus. We got to tell them about Jesus. We got to do those things. Man, thank God for what he did campus-wide here in 2018. Somebody say amen. Blow your little whistles there. Amen, man. Thank the Lord for what he's done. Yeah. I'm thankful what God did spiritually. Man, we got lots of guests today. Y'all thinking we're crazy. You know, I think what God did spiritually, to my knowledge, in the last while, 13 people making public profession of their faith through being scripturally baptized is a great year. Now, let me help you. If one got baptized, that was a great year. But 13 saying, I don't care who knows, I want to be fully identified with Christ, publicly saying, I've repented of my sins, put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Man, that's amazing. Amen. 13 times. We broke the water hose. How many of you think that's a pretty good idea, man? We broke it so bad off, it is in on its way to the dumpster, and I have ordered one that supposedly will not fail. because I want to work that thing out pretty hard in 2019. Amen. I believe people who say that they know Christ ought to be getting baptized and they ought to be getting discipled, right? They ought to be fulfilling the Great Commission, going to all the world and teach, going to all the world and what? And teach every man the gospel, what? Teaching them to make disciples of them, teaching them to be baptized and to follow whatever God says, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 there, and I'll quote it correctly and just say, man, I believe that's what God wants us to do. I'm glad for 11 people making a public profession of their faith. I'm glad for 11 people saying that Christ has saved them from their sins. How many of you, that's exciting? By the way, baptism, we ought, man, somebody who's been born again, man, we ought to shout and hallelujah and clap too. Amen. And some of those were children, but most of those were adults. Most of those were adults. I'm glad for 13 people making public profession of their faith through water baptism. I'm thankful for what? I'm thankful for 11 people who said, that I know of, 11 people who said, God, I'm a sorry, low-down, rotten sinner, but I believe you died for my sins, and you came to this world to save me, and I accept your free gift of faith, of salvation by faith, and God, I want you to transform my life. Man, that's exciting. That's exciting, amen. We rejoice in 2018. Rejoice that, best I can tell, we had 6 people go through what we call one-on-one discipleship, life on life, our continue program. I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited. It's either 14 or 16, if I got my numbers right. We got that many signed up, ready to go right now. That the folks who've been through it, made a disciple, are now interested in making a disciple. They're interested in pouring their life into somebody else. How many of you, that's pretty exciting to you, amen? How many of you know churches, man, it's just strangers in and strangers out. And 2 ships passing on a Sunday morning, hoping for a short sermon and beat the Methodist to the buffet line. And that's all that church is. And I'm saying to you that our church is a body of believers who are investing in the lives of others, who are interested in the spiritual growth of others, who want to make sure that somebody's poured into them and then they pour into somebody else. Life-changing life, making disciples that make disciples, letting the Word of God in the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you. Man, that is exciting to me. Somebody say amen or blow your whistle there. Amen. Yeah. So, by the way, How many of you think when the 14 get done and the 14 try and find 14 more and that's 28, how many of you think all of a sudden church is going to really start seeing some transformation? How many of you think if you got 14 or 28 people who are every day in the Word and every day studying the Scripture and every day knowing that they're going to be in an accountability meeting at some point and every day trying to learn, or every week trying to learn a little verse of the Scripture. How many of you think spiritual growth will bubble up and it'll start to affect so many folks? How many of you think it's going to be transformed? How many of you think it's New Testament Christianity, by the way? That's just what the Bible commands. Man, I am excited about that. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about the future. We've got, you'll get a calendar as you leave. We've got 8 opportunities for us to interact with our neighborhood and to love Hardin Valley with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, again, starting, we'll kind of officially do that next Sunday. The folks that are going to be partnered up in our continue program, the one-on-one, a couple of us are taking 2 just to kind of help out there. Man, I'm excited to, a couple of the county officials asked me last night, said, do you have anybody in your church? So we have school systems in Knox County where they have an 8 to 10% reading rate. 90% of the kids in the school don't read. Said, if you've got anybody, especially if they are a Christian, man, we'd love for them to go in and read 1 hour a week. And I said, I don't know, but I'll find out. We'll ask. We've got some folks maybe want to do that. Well, why do you want to do that, man? Because we can get in there and they can get a connection to the Lord. And you can love on a little kid and help them to read and succeed and all those kind of things. Because we're not to keep it to ourselves. We're to be salt and to be light. And man, I'm glad that this little church and this end of town is trying its very best. And somebody walks up, says, hey, Pastor Rodney, know who you are, know that you're church. And man, I believe that you're the kind of people would help us reach folks in our community who are in desperate need of somebody to love them. Man, I am glad for a church having that kind of reputation. Somebody say amen, blow the noise maker about that. Amen. I don't want to do that. I'm glad for opportunities we have with our music. I'm glad the providence of God. I laughed about that last night. I mean, how? What? who gets to work out? Who gets to work out people moving here by way of Baltimore and in Alaska to get to Hardin Valley to land here And then all of a sudden, the Lord impressed on their heart, maybe it'd be a good idea. Maybe a good idea to help, because the pastor doesn't really seem to know what he's doing musically. And, don't blow those noisemaker. And, man, it'd be a good idea to help him. How many of you think that's just like the Lord to send somebody from almost North Pole, Alaska, not quite there, but to Hardin Valley, move them down the street, and go, you know what, I got a heart. I'd love to help a medium, small church and help them out with some things. And just exactly all the things that we needed. And, man, a philosophy that I really love, man, that music comes from the heart and not from the talent. And, man, get your heart right with God and your heart right with each other, and beautiful music will flow from that. How many of you think that's just the Lord, amen? Just the Lord. How many of you think that's pretty cool, man? And we didn't even have to pay for it to move. Somebody say amen, I'm kidding. And, man, isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely amazing? Amazing. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we have needs. I'm thinking we need Sunday school teachers. That means we got people who need to be taught. Somebody say amen. I'm thankful we need junior church workers. Because 4 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot of kids here. I'm thankful we went to hear Ken Ham speak last night at the Crown College deal. There's thousands of men there. Let me help you. And he's up there and he's spouting off the seven seas of creation. And he's talking about this and he's talking about that. And I'm sitting there smiling, because that is exactly what those young people get in our junior church. Is they're being equipped not with secular humanism, not with feel good stories, but they're being told an evidence for their faith and a foundation for their faith and a hope for their faith. And it's rocked in the Word of God. And we get that from those people. We got to hear him last night. I'm smiling, because that is exactly what we're trying to do with our teenagers, our young people. Because that is what is necessary and needed now. I'm thankful that we need helpers there. I'm thankful we need helpers for our nursery. You know what that means? I mean, we got babies here. Got babies here. I say this kindly. There's nothing any sadder to me than a church full of gray hair and white hair and no other generations there. That's no slack on folks who have gray hair or white hair. It means we're not reaching generations. Church ought to have every generation in a church. Church ought to have every generation in a church. Amen. And the older ones ought to be teaching the younger ones. The younger ones ought to be humble enough to listen to the older ones. I'm thankful. I've prayed for 12. God give us 12. Let a lady only have to serve once a month. Say, can guys serve? They can serve back there with their spouses. But I don't know many places where if a single guy's in the nursery, somebody's going to come up and say, here, take care of my child. They might, but I'm not doing it. And a blonde-haired woman in the back, last name of Holloman, ain't doing it either. And so I want you to do that. And what we want you to serve. I want you to serve. Why? Once every quarter, not every 12, 13 weeks, not such a big deal. We want to do that. Man, we need that. We need that. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what I believe God wants to do as we take these next steps musically. I'm thankful that over and over and over and over again, we'll have 60, 70, 80 in a service here, and we'll have 200 or 300 watch the service. Watch the service, and people are being encouraged who can't come, and God is using them. I'm thankful. I'm thankful again for what God's wanting to do. Last year, let's see, is that slide next? I'm thankful in 2018 we had four words that we really tried to go after. We went after the words prayer, evangelism, discipleship, and relationships. In a future sermon, I'll tell you how I kind of think we did. But we tried to go after these. Try to graph these. Every now and then I have to return back to True North. I really want our Wednesday service to be about prayer. An emphasis there. I want us to be about prayer. I want us to be about evangelism. I want you to always feel good about inviting somebody, but I want you to feel confident that you can talk to somebody on your own about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe if all we ever do is say, I hope the preacher does well, and we'll only get what the preacher can do. Man, I believe evangelism is our opportunity. I believe discipleship. I believe God answered our prayer here. We are further along in this than we've been in the years that I've been here. And then relationships. Again, I just don't want us to be straight. Again, you want to make the preacher smile? You tell me that some of you went out to eat. You tell me some of you were over each other. You tell me these kind of things. Man, you walk in. Some of you, man, you just smile. I told the story last night. I thought a total stranger 2 weeks ago. And they asked me a couple of things, and they said, have you eaten any peanut butter pie lately? I didn't know their name, first or last. I don't think I'd ever met them. Somehow they knew about me that I like peanut butter pie. I wasn't offended by that, but I've got to think I need to talk more about Jesus than peanut butter pie, and because I don't think that's the only thing I want to be known for. Somebody nod your head at me. Man, but relationship. Man, you know, it's kind of funny last night, you know, Mayor Kane, that's not his name, you know, new mayor, wrestler, you know. He walks up, how you doing, preacher? I'm like, there's no way in the world that a guy from Eastern North Carolina, 7 hours from here, moves here, doesn't know anybody except the pulpit committee hardly, don't know them very well, and 4 years later knows not one mayor but two mayors, and they think a lot of this church. They don't think a lot of me. They just know the church is here. I think that's pretty cool what God has done. Somebody say, man, we need a relationship, not just with political people. That's just an easy illustration. We need a relationship with our neighbor and our friend and the people that are around here. And again, it's fine with me if people are using the building every week of the year, man, they get on campus and we get to talk to them about Jesus and love them. How's that sound? Man, that sounds exciting to me. Somebody say amen. Blow your whistle one more time. There you go. All right. So tell the story. Here we go. Here's our theme. Tell the story. I know what time it is. I promise. We're right here. Tell the story. I think God wants us to tell the story. If you're following your notes along, number one, we're going to flesh this out this year. I want to encourage you to tell the story inside the church. Tell the story inside the church. Us. It's discipleship. Some of you men have asked, well, I need somebody to meet with me. I need somebody to hold me accountable, not just one or two of you. We need that. We need to be pouring our lives in each other, and that's where we're going to be at with in 1 Kings 19. But tell the story. Everybody here needs an Elijah in their life. And everybody here needs an Elisha in their life. You need somebody that you're pouring your life into. Anybody here under 30, 35, wish you had an older woman in faith who would just love on you and help you and pray with you and tell you it's going to be all right, nod your head, wave at me? Anybody? Well, I just made some people mad. Anybody here under 60 need an older woman? I just messed up, Roy. Just forget everything. How many of you would like to have somebody love you? There we go. All right, there we go. I'm so sorry what I just said. I don't... Some of you don't listen to anything I said, but you heard everything I just said. How many of you like to do that? We need that. I need that. I need that. I've done my best to find some men the last 2 years to pour into me. We need that. You want a difference in a healthy church and an unhealthy church? I give you one quickly. They're not connecting to each other. They're just not. We are on purpose, unashamedly. We want to tell the story inside the church. Number two. We'll flesh this out all year. Number two, I believe we need to tell the story outside the church. We need to tell the story outside the church. Joseph Rabo didn't know this, but ever since God gave him favor in the quick job move, I have prayed repeatedly, God, if you thought fit to move him and to place him there, I pray you'd surround him with good Christian friends, and I pray you'd surround him with a bunch of pagans. Because all the cool things you're doing in his life, he needs to tell somebody. He needs to be locked on a truck. He needs to be locked in the building where he can just brag on Jesus and tell them about his son. Tell somebody. God moves Tommy and Jeff around all the time. I pray for them repeatedly. God, wherever you smack them down, as they're all over the place, and sometimes internationally, God, would you put them places where they can tell the story outside the church? And we're going to call this Find Our One. March is Find Our One month. We're going to do that. Find your one. Find your one. Who is it? Who you're praying for? Who you're working on? Who you're loving on? Who is it, that neighbor, that co-worker? Who is that person that lives in your house? Man, find your one. Find one. Tell your story outside the church. Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach, make disciples of all nations. Tell your story outside. Tell your story of the world. That's missions. That's missions. We're going to try and keep a running total of what we do for missions throughout the year. Throughout the year. When I came, my goal was for us to get 10% of our budget, at least tithe our budget to missions. I would encourage that. We're going to take the first and third Wednesday night offerings to do that. We're going to do our best. John Weininger has worked on a couple of areas and gave me some suggestions. We've already added some things to our app in order to do that. Tommy gave me an idea as well. And Actually, I took Tommy's question, John's idea, and we're working them together. We want to make it easy for you to know about our missions and missionaries. And we want to make it easy for you to pray for them and know what's going on in their life. We want to do that because we want to help tell the world. We want to help tell the world. Somebody say amen to that. Let me help you. And the world starts right here. The world starts right here. 2013, Lifeway Research, 82% any given Sunday, the people that live around here from Farragut this way, 82%, 8 out of 10 don't attend any house of worship, any church, any service, anywhere. If their numbers are off by 20%, that's still 6 out of 10 with steeples all over the place. We've got to tell the world. We've got to tell the story of the world. And then I want to encourage you to tell the story. Tell the story of God's working in your life. Tell the story of God's working in your life. I swerved in this accidentally. I don't do it a lot for time's sake, but I don't know why I'm in a rush. Some best service we've had in 2 years of services where some of you stood up, nervous as you can be, and bragged on Jesus. I just, Joseph and Joji testified last week, been fine with me, they'd gone on about another 10 minutes. God supernaturally arranging. I mean, restaurant and looking online, and then I end up moving beside of you. I mean, your son's having an asthma attack at the restaurant, right? You're on your way, yeah, that's right. You're on your way to, I mean, what's the odds of finding me at a restaurant? And, and then to know the berries, and that story, man, to see God working in your life, You ought to be bragging about the fact that God saved you, and that God changed you, and that God is changing you, and that God, that you are trusting Him. Tell the story. Tell the story in your life. You're here. I got 3 minutes. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. Blow the whistle, whatever you want to. Look in 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. There are other Old Testament illustrations, but I love this one. It's Elijah and Elisha. Elisha's working. He's wealthy. He's got family. He's not looking for what about to happen to him. He's not. Elisha comes up, casts his mantle, his outer coat on him, and keeps on walking. That's what I love. He's either going to do or he's not. And when Elisha gets his wits about him, he takes off and he says, I'll follow you. Just let me go home and say goodbye. We think that's a negative till we figure out what he does next. He does what? He takes the way he was making his money. He takes all that wood, all those harnesses, or wooden harnesses, those yokes, and he turns them into kindling. He takes some of the ox that he's using to plow up the fields, and he takes and he butchers them, and he throws a giant barbecue for family, friends, servants, co-workers, and says, my life is different now because somebody sought me out. My life is different now because somebody is going to invest in my life. My life is different now for God because somebody came by and somebody touched me and somebody's going to work me. Somebody's going to do something different in my life. And I just want you to know that my life is different now. My life is different now. And we're having a big party, but I'm packing and I'm heading out in the morning because I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to follow this guy Elijah because he's going to help me walk with Jesus. Is there a better, a greater, more wonderful, succinct picture of what it means to tell your story, be by somebody, or tell your story inside the church and let somebody what? Disciple you. A more succinct version of that. Here it is. Here it is. You have Elijah and Elisha. He found him. He offered to pour his life into him. Some of you are different because somebody poured their life into you. Some of you are about to be a difference maker in somebody's life because they're pouring their life into you. Some of you right now are fixing to see grandchildren. Because you've poured your life into somebody and they're fixing to pour their life into somebody else. I'm even thinking that's what a church is to be about. Life into life and pouring into each other. Man, this is what God wants to do. Let me help you. Elisha's life was changed forever. His relationship with his family was changed forever. His relationship with his business was changed forever. This is what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. Let me give you the finality, then I'm going to ask you to pray. His relationship with his family was changed in his business. If you're following along in the app there, I got three things, and I'm just rat-a-tat and gone, we're gone. Remember, following Jesus involves a break with the past. Following Jesus involves a break with the past. Always involves a break with the past. Always, always involves a break with the past. If any man come after me, want to be my disciple, he cannot what? Unless he take up his cross and follow me. This is a break with the past. You'll lose some friends. You may lose, may find some people that are disappointed and discouraged in you. That's okay. He said what? He said, look, I'm killing the oxen. I'm burning the tools. I'm ready to follow Jesus. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? It involves a break with the past. A whole lot of times it involves taking somebody with us. Taking somebody with us. Who are you going to take with this year? Who are you going to tell the story with? Now, you may be on the other end of that. You may need somebody to tell the story to you. I got that. That was me. That was me. I'm the product. I'm the product of a youth pastor who poured his life in. There's no way around. I'm the product of some school teachers who poured their life. I mean, take somebody with you. You can't download an app and get this. You can't watch a video and get this. You need skin. You need life on life. You need somebody on their face praying for you. We need this, and you need somebody to pour your life in too. If you're a Christ follower, Remember, it's always God's plan. It's always God's plan. Strangers in, strangers out. Nobody knows anybody. Nobody has anything to do with anybody. That's just not God's plan. Not God's plan. Early church did what? They were assembled together and they prayed. When they were what? They did what, man? They taught. They were taught daily, and they fellowshiped daily, and they ate together. Man, they were doing life together. Man, this is what a church gets to be. It's why our life groups are so important. Whether they meet on Wednesday night or meet on Sunday or meet during the week, whatever, how we can do it. And again, we do a lot of these things at organized times on site because of childcare. I get to, but man, we need each other. You need me. I need you. You ever feel lonely in your Christian life? You ever feel like you just can't be honest with anybody else? You feel like, man, you're surrounded by people who don't care about your spiritual life. I'm going to help you. That's not God's plan. He wants you to do this together. Do this together. Some of you, man, the highlight of your week is not to come hear me preach. I don't know, well, you can just come and be with other people because you finally are like, man, praise God, I'm with some people who know Jesus and who care about the Lord, and they're not all crazy like everybody I work with. Man, I can get here. Man, we're to do life together. Do life together. Tell your story. Tell the story. Tell your story to somebody inside the church, somebody outside the church. Find your one. Tell the story of the world. I said it already. Tell your story. Tell your story. Say, preacher, you seem like you're going all in on some of this stuff. I think I'm going all in on the Bible. I think I'm going all in on what a church is to be. By the way, I think I'm going all in on exactly where we need to be going all in. Tell your story. Tell the story. Man, I'm excited about telling the story. I hope you are. I'm thankful. We're going to say more about 2018. And more about 2019. But I want to tell his story. Because his story changed our lives and your life, and it will change anybody's life. You ready to tell the story? Pray with me right now. Father God, we love you. We need you this morning.